drawing.
One of them.
I mean, you've really got to do that because.
We'll call the Gates County Board of Supervisors meeting to order for Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024 at 8:47 on the clock. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I mean, not that you couldn't.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation, Haxby, Schuler, Teeman, Dorn, Swavely, and Lytle. Mr. Jurgens will be out today. The first is the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held March 20th, 2024. Approve all claims through April 3rd, 2024 in the amount of $429,452.67. Accept claim number 2404-0049 to Hard Rock Quarries, LLC, in the amount of $13,036.27. And claim number 2404-0054 to RL Team and Construction, Inc., in the amount of $44,410.58 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file all correspondence received. Approve receiving and placing on file the 23 annual report for Claytonia Rescue Squad, Cortland Volunteer Fire and Rescue, and Wymore Emergency Medical Services. Approve canceling check number 2308-0181 to Windstream in the amount of $6,389.22. Approve district court summary fee report and register of deeds fee report for the month of March 24. Approve utility permit number 1299. Roars Machinery. Roars will be installing a new electric line for irrigation, starting at the South Grader Ditch along Lilac Road, approximately 1,500 feet east of Southwest 89. Roars will bore under Lilac Road for the new electric line. Into the North Grader Ditch of Lilac Road. Once in the North Grader Ditch, Roars will continue all work on private property located south of Section 11 and north of Section 14, Township 3, North, Range 5 East, Lincoln Township. Approve utility permit number 1300 to Pinpoint Communications, Inc. Pinpoint will be installing a new communications line on South 1st between Sargent and Dorsey Road. Starting on Sargent Road in the North Grader Ditch, Pinpoint will bore along the outer edge of the right-of-way in the North Grader Ditch for approximately 630 feet. Place a fault bore under Sargent Road to the south into the West Grader Ditch of South 1st Road and continue boring for 2,630 feet south to Dorsey. Then bore under South 1st Road into the east into the North Grader Ditch of Dorsey Road for 215 feet and end work. Pinpoint will be installing a new communications line on Juniper Road in the South Grader Ditch. Pinpoint will start approximately 522 feet east of the intersection South 1st and Juniper Road, bore 393 feet to the west in the South Grader Ditch right away in place a ground level box. Pinpoint will be installing new communication lines for residents at 462 Juniper Road. Pinpoint will bore under Juniper Road from the South Grader Ditch to the North Grader Ditch and continue work on private property. Pinpoint will be installing a new communications line for the residents at 22890 South 1st Road. Pinpoint will bore under 1st Road from the West Grader Ditch to the East Grader Ditch and continue work on private property located in sections North 27, East 27, N 26, North 22, North 23, and N 23. Midland Township, Township 4 North, Range 6 East. It's got to be a better way to write that.
Terry would ask you to read that again.
My goodness. Pinpoint's going to work around 1st and Sargent. We're going to run under the road back and forth. And we're going to get the whiteout pen next time. Approved support letter for appropriations grant for Claytonia. Well, I'd ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented, unless there's any items to pull off. Ms. Axby.
I would like to approve a consent agenda minus 9 I'd like to discuss.
Minus which?
9.
Number 9.
Oh, 9. Okay.
Any other items on the consent agenda to pull off? If not, please vote.
You didn't have a second.
You need a second.
Oops.
I'll second that.
I'm still upset about this item 9.
I want him to reread it.
It's just off if we have to reread it. Motion by Dorn. Haxby, second by Dorn. Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Item 9, Ms. Haxby.
First of all, I would like you to reread that to make sure that we got it under.
Cancel the project.
No, I actually like to move to table this item to look at it a little bit more. This would potentially, if this does happen, would end up not getting some houses in the process, would eliminate getting to some of those houses in that process. So I just want a little more time to work on it. I've been working on grants the last couple days, and because they are due today. So I would like to table this.
How many houses do you think you would lose if this one goes?
Well, I mean, there's...
Just a rough number. I'm sorry.
Probably 10. Because I already have it permitted. And so if you basically cut at the ends of that permit, who's going to go through it to get to the other homes that are in the middle?
That's on North 19th Street?
Yep.
So you'd just like to move this down to another meeting?
Table it.
So this would affect your grant?
The grant, we have a permit already that I had worked with the people that live there and then down Sargent to get all those covered. And if you, like, so you've got this end and you got this end and all these houses here. So if you get a permit and does this and does this, who's going to still go through to come and get all these in here when I already have the permit to do all of it?
Ms. Haxby is going to check to see with this company if they came through, if they'll still hit everybody instead of cut it off. It's the way it sounded. If this one goes through now, it leaves an area that may not be covered of about 10 houses.
I thought there was an overlap was the problem here.
They're literally at the border of each of the overlaps right now. So they, and actually one of these, they stopped just like 200 foot short of the barn that they got $25,500 to hit. And then they're just shy of a few of those. So I want to make sure that we're looking at the whole thing and not missing houses and then by doing these here. It's easier to show you on a map.
But just to be clear, it makes you no difference which carrier does it.
I don't care which carrier, as long as it's all done.
As long as they hit the houses.
Because I already have something so that we could get every house done in that area, not just these select ones at each end. So I just want to make sure that we're getting every house.
So NextLink isn't going to move forward with...
They are. I just actually talked to them 2-3 weeks ago. They have to do some boring for our project under some railroads because that's an in-house job. They got NBP grants for Barnston, Philly, Pickerel that they got to get built out. That's in-house. And then they were going to come, and this was the addendum to the Pickerel DSA that would build all of these out.
But this one was – so I told the committee this was not part of the overlap. Technically, this area we did not fund, correct?
Correct.
They're doing this one.
But this one I already I had worked with everyone that lives on that road or that area outside of the city of Beatrice. And we had already passed a permit in September of last year to get this built. That hit everyone, not just the ones on each end.
And that's gonna be done also.
They're hoping this fall.
So
but they just have to get like I said, they have to keep our project going, they have to bore underneath the railroads. And then they have to hit those NBBPs before
saying.
The end of the year.
If I understand right, though, what Mr. Lionel's asking, how does that affect this? If they cut the two ends off, then what you're saying is we didn't fund NextLink for this. If they cut the two sides off, no one may go between. Is that correct? So it could stop that because they'd have to actually jump over a bunch then.
That's what I'm asking. The two different providers, the other one, if this one does this first, the other one's not going to come through?
I don't know. I haven't had time to, like, I literally found this Monday. I've got 3 grants due on Wednesday.
So for clarifications, I thought there was an overlap that people would be getting, there, be doubling up.
It's right.
Not leaving anybody out, but that it was not wise use of money to double up on people when it could be used someplace else.
There is that part, too. Like I said, this would be much easier if I had a little picture here to show you where it is. I wish I would have printed that, but.
I wouldn't have any problem just waiting until a later meeting on this for you to talk to that company. The main thing is that all the people get covered, regardless of who does it.
That's what I want to make sure.
Right.
But do I understand right? This area, we actually did not fund this. The company that was doing the other projects, they're coming up with the money out of their coffers to pay for all of this otherwise.
So when these people that live in this area found out that they were outside of our project area and outside of the city, they came to me. So I worked with all of those people. They signed a piece of paper, got together, went to NextLink. I worked back and forth with NextLink. And they did the engineering, they submitted a plan that would cover everyone outside of our project, every single home in that area. And so if we come in and just cap the ends with this,
and then they don't get covered,
and then the rest of them don't get covered, then I don't care who does it, but do it all if you're going to do it.
The other thing that it does affect the people is Pinpoint has a different pricing structure than the other carrier. NextLink was the one that negotiated with the county, and those rates will be lower for those people because of the county's negotiation in lieu of Pinpoint. That's a higher price point, lower speeds, things like that.
Is there anybody from Pinpoint here today? I guess my question would be, is this going to affect, if we wait 2 weeks... is that going to affect Pinpoint's projects?
Mark is saying yes.
Then, I don't think it's for us to tell businesses what they can and can't do, if they, especially when they're funding it.
This one is funded by the state, partially funded by the state, correct?
I have to. Well, one of them would be because it goes to that barn.
They are going to the barn.
It looks like it here. I mean, they're within. I want time to look at it. I have a grant due that's today by 5 p.m. Eastern time. 3 grants that I got to get done that I've been working on the last 2 days. So I haven't had a chance to really dig into this. And so I'm just saying to table it so that I have a chance to look at it and talk to Pinpoint and talk to. And make sure that we're going to get this done.
To table, we actually, I think, need a motion to table to pass it on.
I had a motion.
Oh, I missed that. I am not on my game today. Okay. I apologize, Ms. Axby.
Maybe you need to read it again.
I might need to drink more coffee.
He was recovering from reading it the first time.
Yeah, that's probably verbal injury here. We have a motion to table by Ms. Axby. Do you want to put a time frame on? Well, I guess you don't need to for a table, just a motion to table. Do we have a second to table?
I did.
Second by Dorn.
That was originally.
That was, okay.
XB.
That was for the,
Did you second her table? Okay.
Well, we had -9. That was the motion for the rest of the consent, and then she started talking about 9, and she wanted to table.
We voted 6-0 in favor of 1-8.
Right.
So 1 through 10, less 9.
Okay, so he wants to second that.
Okay.
Okay.
Motion by Axby, second by Dorn to table item 9.
To say that it's going to mess up the construction, that's not. They move those things around throughout the entire town, and they're in the city of Beatrice. If they were 20 miles away, yeah, I would say that would affect it. But they're not going anywhere for a while. I have time to look at this.
I don't understand what the capping off. What area do you think you're capping off?
Maybe
Mark, you're going to have to come up to the...
Yeah.
Did Pinpoint discuss this with you?
Yes. So they from Sergeant going north, that will all be aerial lines. It will not be bored in the ground. And then on Juniper going east is all aerial.
What about Sergeant?
Then no. We need to table this for 2 weeks, please.
We have a motion by Haxby, second by Dorn to table. Any other discussion on the table?
If you go aerial and that's the way around this, then we are going into the funded area that we have already funded at $4,210 per home, and it will overbuild our area at $25,500 per home.
Mr. Lytle.
I would like to have more time to look at this. If we are allowing a fund of an overbuild at five times what we already funded it at, then I do have a problem. We have people out there without fiber. I need time to look at it. They're not going anywhere.
So, Mark, what was the reason that you feel that it's going to cause an issue for their project?
They just expressed that they needed it to go through. They had people lined up to start boring.
With this being in the same area, I wonder if they're trying to just whoever gets the flag in the ground first, that type of situation.
But it's overhead.
No, I mean if they know that somebody else is coming in, so there's going to be two providers instead of one in that area. I wonder if they're just trying to get there first.
They're not going anywhere. Please just give me 2 weeks. I would have done it in the last 2 days, but I don't know what you want me to work on. I have grants to get done today. So give me 2 weeks.
I understand where you're coming from, Emily, but I also, what is the reason that we need 2 weeks if this project is already funded?
It's not already funded. It doesn't get funded until they built it. And I don't think that we should be supporting an overbuild at five times the cost when we have grants out there that weren't funded that serve people that have no service at all.
With that, we're going to pause this discussion temporarily for a timed event at 9 o'clock. We have some good discussion here, and I appreciate it, but we have something better to talk about. I'm going to ask Scott to come up, and we have the privilege of a veteran's honor this morning.
Thanks, Scott.
Morning, everyone.
Morning.
We're going to recognize Earl Adam this morning. Earl Adam enlisted in the United States Army on June 25th, 1970. He was promoted to Special C4 on June 21st, 1971, and was honorably discharged in December 29th, 1971. Earl was a 11 Bravo light infantry, weapons infantry. He was awarded the Combat Infantry Badge, the National Defense Service Medal, the Vietnamese Service Medal, the Vietnamese Campaign Medal with the 1960 device, the Army Commendation Medal, and the Expert Marksmanship Badge for the M16 rifle. With that, I'd like to invite Earl to come up and say a couple words.
It shouldn't take more. I got a few notes here. It shouldn't take more than a couple hours. So hopefully. And I want to thank Gary Schramm for nominating me. And, having me here today. I lived on the Kansas border, but I had an Odell, Nebraska address, and I was number two on the draft list in Washington County at the time. So I knew, I'd worked at Beardmore Chevrolet here in Beatrice before I got drafted, so I figured I'd probably get in the motor pool, being I had the experience of working on vehicles, which didn't turn out right. I ended up going to Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri for my basic training, and then I got my orders for Fort Ord, California, so I knew where I was going because that was infantry AIT that I'd be going to Vietnam. And, well, so when I first left, we flew into Chu Lai, Vietnam, and took a few tracers come by the plane as we were coming in. And but anyway, my first couple days there, I went to get my extra set of glasses and then went down to the, that was in Chu Lai, and I guess my first shock came kind of when I went to the medical building to get my glasses, and I seen three guys come in on stretchers, which I thought were Afro-Americans, and it turned out that there were three American GIs that had hit a mine with their truck, and they were burnt that bad, and I couldn't see that any of them had any legs left. And then after that, after a couple days of training, I got sent to the 25th Infantry Division in reconnaissance, and we went out in five-man teams, which was also very kind of scary, especially at night on guard duty. There's only five of us, so every 2 hours we pulled a shift. And anyway, there's always lizards and wild pigs and stuff running around in the jungle, which, you know, in dark, you didn't know what would happen next. And we did, we had a couple of the guys that were with me had been there. One of them had been there 4 years, and he was dusted off on a Cobra gunship on Hamburger Hill the summer before. And I think there was 142 GIs killed on trying to take that hill in the time. But anyway, we'd go out in 12-day missions because we couldn't get resupplied to give our, so our position would have been given away, just being there was five of us. And but anyway, I was there for about 3 months, and the 25th stood down, so I got sent to the 23rd, which was the Maracal. And we started out down in the Delta when I was with the 25th. And then later on, well, I basically went from one end of Vietnam to the other in the time I was there. And we'd, you know, spray or agent to kill the foliage and everything all around to make it easier to see and stuff. But anyway, they forget what they called the one agent, and then they started using the Agent Orange. And of course, you know, during the dry season, you know, we'd drink out of the streams because you'd run out of water, and usually carried about 12 quarts of water and a 100-pound, well, included, made about a 100-pound pack. And at that time, I was in the 23rd, I was with a machine gun, which weighed 28 pounds, unloaded, and we carried about 1,500 pounds, or rounds, not pounds, between my assistant gunner and ammo bearer. And anyway, by the spring of 70, there were, they had sprayed some 20 million gallons of herbicides over roughly a quarter of Vietnam. in border areas of Laos and Cambodia, and 5 million acres of forest and 500,000 acres of crops were destroyed, which there were 3,000 villages was supposedly sprayed, and every ton of rice destroyed would 500 civilians went hungry on that. So, and it was looked kind of funny just to see the bare ground and everything. But and then the most frequent chemical was the Agent Orange, which contained toxic to foliage, which defigured a lot of the Vietnamese skin and disease that they came in contact. And, well, I served my country and was proud to do so, but unfortunately, in 18, I was diagnosed with multiple myeloma, cancer as a result of the Agent Orange. And so now I do a weekly infusion of chemotherapy for the rest of my life. And both of my children had bone issues when they were born, which I think was related to the Agent Orange. And I have no regrets, and it was just an honor to serve the country. And, you know, I felt fortunate that I was able to come home, because there were, like, well, 58,000 that didn't, so. And anyway, that's about all I need to say, I guess. And thanks for, you know, having me and everything.
Mr. Adam, we appreciate your service to the county, to the country, to our state, the treasure we have in your generation. I mean, I hope it's not lost on our new generations, but we do appreciate your service. We have a few small appreciation gifts that Mr. Lytle will give you here, but thank you very much for your service.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. And
Mr. Adam, we got a few items here just to show our appreciation of your service from the county board and the citizens of Gage County.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
We have a time to vent at 9:15. I would ask for a motion to, or I guess if anyone has a culvert bid in the audience, hasn't been turned in. If not, I'd ask for a motion to close bids, close receiving bids for the Gage County 24 culvert project at 9:15.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Doran, second by Swavely to close bidding at 9:15. Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. I'm going to gamble, and we'll go back to item 9. We have a motion on the table to table by Haxby, second by Doran. Additional discussion on that item. Mr. Lytle.
My better judgment says not to table it, but Pinpoint isn't here to say anything on their behalf as far as needing to move forward. So I guess for that reason, I guess I'm going to be okay with waiting 2 weeks, but I do not feel we need to wait longer than 2 weeks.
That's fine. I just need a little bit of time. I would like to talk to Pinpoint. I'd like for them to actually reach out to begin with, because that would have been handy in the beginning. But if they want to go aerially, then this is just a...
Maybe Mr. Tunkey can get you a contact that you can reach Pinpoint at. I know you've had trouble getting a hold of them. Any additional discussion from the board on item 9? If not, we have a motion to table. Please vote. 6 in favor. Item 9, we'll see it again in a couple weeks.
That way you get to read it again.
Grand. We'll stay on with this 9:15 item. Do we have the 2024 culvert project bids? Well, Eddie could take these. Eddie and Mr. Swavely and Mr. Lytle can team up. Say the bid bonds included, and then on here, probably you could read each of the projects, or if there's a total, there's a total project, so this would be the number. That might be the easiest. Total.
Otherwise, are we going to pull
through each of these numbers on every single one?
Eric, I agree.
Yes, they have a bid bond.
Will we do individual projects for each person?
Is it okay if we just read the total for the all the pipes?
Yeah, I think he's going to...
I mean, that'll give us an overview still.
Maybe, but it's still...
If they have the bid bond or not, and then the total number, but...
Troller.
The contractor's name.
Personally.
This one has a bid bond. The contractor name is Contact Engineered Solutions, LLC. And the total project. Do you want me to list the project numbers?
You can just, if you wanted to, just give the total cost. If you are, all these projects is 5 projects.
Material only.
Total for project is $221,578.
This one
has a bid bond, and it's from Metal Culverts Incorporated. Total for the project is $206,762.90. This one has a bid bond. It's from Ace Eaton Metals. Total for the project is $219,623.40. This one has a bid bond, and it's from Midwest Service and Sales Company. Total for the project, $279,090.28.
Eric, I don't want to be a pain in the rear, Eddie, but I'm good at it. So, is there a delivery date with any of those, or did they state it, or?
Mean project completion date or just delivering them?
Yeah, they're
delivery date on the last one for C34 1245 is August 7th, 24. For C34 1247, September 11th. For C34 1264, August 21st. C34 1267 is July 10th, and C34 1269 is July 24th.
Generally, we refer these to the Highway Department for review and then either later approval today or at another meeting.
Yeah.
You want the delivery dates for all of them?
Okay. I'd like
that's
to.
That's ACE there.
This one, ACE, for the ACE Eaton metals. For the 1245 is 8 to 12 weeks. For the 1247 is 8 to 15 weeks. 1264 is 8 to 17 weeks. 1267 is 8 to 19 weeks. And 1269 is 8 to 21 weeks. Starting from when?
Well, from now.
it starts from when shop drawings are approved.
Okay, give that one to Dave so we keep these in bulk stream. Okay,
good question, so Eddie. That'd be a good way to stretch out a project.
Metal culverts.
Okay, metal culverts. For the 1245, 12 to 15 weeks, ARO. 1247, 12 to 16 weeks, ARO. 1264, 12 to 16 weeks, ARO. 1267, 12 to 14 weeks, ARO. 1269, 12 to 14 weeks, ARO.
And this one is the contact.
And from contact,
2 weeks after.
1245, 10 to 14 weeks. 1247, 10 to 14 weeks. 1264, 10 to 14 weeks. 1267, 10 to 14 weeks. 1269, 10 to 14 weeks, and they all had per specifications.
Like I say, generally we refer those over to the Highway Department. I guess I'd ask for a motion to refer those to the Highway Department for review and either recommendation this meeting or the following meeting.
So move
to accept. Does he have it all there?
I think so, for what we need.
Okay, second.
Motion by Dorn, second by Lytle, to accept and refer these all to the Highway Department for review and recommendation. Moved by Dorn, second by Lytle. Please vote. 6 in favor. We may hear back on these today. do you anticipate those coming back today yet, or? Okay. With that, we will go back to the regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 2404-0049 to Hard Rock Quarries LLC in the amount of $13,036.27. And claim number 2404-0054 to RL Team and Construction, Inc. in the amount of $44,410.58. This would bring the total amount of claims paid through April 3rd to $486,899.52. These are two companies that I'm involved with.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Swavely, second by Dorn. Any discussion on these items?
We got to give you the lawn care back or what?
Please vote. 5 in favor with team and abstaining. Motion carries. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items for the County Board of Supervisors. Morning, Steve. Will you give your name and address for the record, please?
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Steve Kanelke. I reside at 28827 South 176th Road in Virginia, Nebraska. Mr. Chairman and County Supervisors, thank you for allowing me once again to speak here today. My concerns remain the same as my last visit here, that being the need to hard surface the three-mile stretch of road that exists between Virginia and Liberty that is by name South 162nd South 162nd Road. I want to express my gratitude to Supervisor Haxby for successfully securing a $5.4 million grant for road repairs. This is a huge accomplishment for the county. To that end, I digress to the last time I spoke here, in which I asked that the board pursue grant opportunities for hard surfacing South 162nd Road. Given the recent success, it's clear that there are opportunities out there for additional grant funding, and I would like to reemphasize my request to the board to pursue these grants. Additionally, writing grant requests for projects of this nature can be a consuming, detailed affair. Emily has demonstrated her propensity for a project of this nature, and it would be great if she could tackle the South 162nd Road project. However, I suspect that she has a limited amount of time to do so. If Emily is unavailable and no other board members feel motivated to pursue a grant, I would suggest that the board consider hiring a grant writer to do so. It's my understanding that professional grant writers are available, and the recent $5.4 million grant proves that money is available for road projects. When I last addressed the board, I stated that you are a resourceful group of people and asked that you consider ways to hard surface South 162nd Road. Incorporating a grant writer may be a way to do so. This project has been a distant blip on our radar for decades, and a grant would greatly assist in moving forward with construction. Emily, congratulations, and thank you for your recent accomplishments. Thank you for allowing me to speak here today.
Thank you, sir. Would anyone else like to speak at public comment today? If not, we'll move on to committee reports. Building and grounds, winter lights, Mr. Swavely.
David was hiding in the hall.
Good morning, Mr. Jones. Do it.
I was checking my hair. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have an announcement to make from Sherry Clark from the DMV. She says that the DMV will be open in Gage County on Wednesday, May the 15th, so they'll be here Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. The reason being there's a They're closing the Lincoln office because they are moving, so they will be in Gage County on May 15th. And otherwise, I had still working on the bids for the replacing the doors at the East Handicap Entrance. And Greg Dennis, the Masonry Construction, has showed some interest in putting a header in. He's going to come down and look at it. I did call for a couple other people, and I have not heard back from them, so I will see what Greg says on that. And I talked to the committee about improved lighting down on the ground floor. That's kind of the DMV waiting area, and it does seem dark down there. So I've always wanted to do something down there anyway, but would like to get some improved lighting. And a long time ago, I know we talked about I'd like to put like a memorial to the veterans down there also. Those walls are real blank, so I'd like to work on that. We're getting close to getting done on the district court clerks. I got to just work on they're going to put their kiosks out in the hallway, so we're going to put a counter out there and just kind of finish up in the office. Talked about some vehicles here and at the highway department about putting those on Purple Wave, so we'll make a list for that. And last, I did get a kind of a pep talk on trying to start on this boardroom bench remodel, so we'll see what we can do there. That's about all I had.
That was a good way to put that. It was encouraging.
Yes, it was. Thank you.
Thanks,
Thank
David.
You. Got anything to add?
No.
Equalization, we talked with Patty Milligan this morning a little bit. Valuations are going up, which she didn't allude to. We talked yesterday a little bit more. Of course, our valuations that we submit have to be approved by the state. There are some that she thinks are going to be perhaps outside the realm of what the state would like, but she said she can't. Patty doesn't want to necessarily move the valuations up as much as the rules may show. She's trying to fit within the rules so that we're approved, but there's some big changes again. So she said some of it she's going to dig her heels in, some of the valuations, and we're going to have to see what happens. The valuations have just gone up at such a rapid pace that there are sectors or villages that are moving really, really quickly. So I guess we'll see what happens. Our numbers are all submitted. We'll see if the state approves them or not. Finance and insurance.
Since Terry is not here, I'll try to.
I know you love these, Gary.
Big ticket items. Applied Connective Technologies IT Services, $10,365. Blue River's AAA funding, $25,273.50. Cornhusker State Industrial Laminate Counters, $11,664. Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel for Rock and Gravel, $10,045.41. Hard Rock Quarries, Rock and Gravel, $13,336.27. RL Team and Construction, Township Hauling and Gravel, $410.58. There's only one more. I got this here. RDO Truck Center, Parts and Labor, $46,276.38.
Thank you, Ms. Haxby, for the emphasis.
I tried.
Veteran Service. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning again.
Good morning.
Thank you again for our presentation earlier.
Yep, thank you guys for recognizing the veteran. Appreciate it. The Veterans Service Committee met on March 21st, 2024. Present was Hardick Bates, Junker, Paul Norton, and excused was Ty. We reported two NVA claims. One was for rent for, I'm not going to get crazy like Terry does, $1,490.90. and one for housing and food for $4,202.90. And then we had three county veteran aid claims, one to Board of Public Works for $150, and one to the Travel Lodge for $418.92, and one to Russ's Market for $200, with a total of $768.92, leaving $5,027 in the county veteran aid account. We had 16 deceased veterans in the county from December 8th through March 21st. We're working on the Memorial Day event at the Evergreen Home Cemetery. Rhonda completed her accreditation basic course with the National Association of County Veteran Service Officers and is waiting to get her accreditation number. She took it in January, and they still haven't given her a number. They're slow. April 16th through the 19th, I'll be attending the Nebraska County Veteran Service Officer Annual Training in Kearney for my required CEUs, which are a requirement for me to keep my accreditation. Steve Norton is stepping down from the County Veteran Service Board Committee. Letters were sent out to all the veteran post commanders in Gage County for nominations to fill his position. We heard back from two posts so far. They were Post 27, American Legion Post 27 in Beatrice, and Post 1077, the VFW post in Beatrice. And they both nominated the same person. So I'll be sending probably a letter over probably the end of this week, so you guys can look at it next week and see if you go ahead and approve that nomination. I think he's the one that the nomination that was out there, I think, is a real good one. He's worked with a lot of the veteran service offices, veteran organizations, the Buddy Check, he's president of the EVATS. He's very involved with the Legion, the VFW, so, and not just in the county, he works with state stuff, too, so I think he'll be a good fit. And then, pending any of your questions, that's all I have.
I want to give you a pat on the back still. We have usually no news is good news, or we hear bad things. I still get compliments on the work that you do, so we usually don't pass that along like we probably should, but I do want to give you a pat on the back and thank you for doing a great job.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You bet. Thank you.
You bet. Thanks.
Human Resources, Employee Relations. We do have a retirement. We've had a resignation earlier, I guess last week. But other than that, we don't really have any HR to talk about. Law Enforcement, Emergency Management. Mr. Lytle.
Yes, you up.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Sheriff.
Donnie came this morning and asked me to just give a quick update on the horse investigation. We the court order had the horse sale, the Palmyra sale barn. I think that was March 12th. The hauling of the horses went very well. I was holding my breath on that. I only had one minor injury on a foot, and that was it. It was well attended. There was a lot of people there, and the sale went very well as well. So I got a return made back to court this week. Roger's going to finalize what he has to do, and we'll have a hearing on disposition as far as dispersing funds. I'm thinking we're right around $40,000 for county after donations. So they did help us out a lot, because I think we had $70,000, $75,000 donations that went toward some of our invoices. So it's done and over with, hopefully, here by the next hearing we have, and move on. So, any questions you got on it? And for you, just so you know, the reason we're out there with radar, two incidences, I just couldn't pass this up. We had complaints on Highway 4 West, so I set up a speed trailer. Speed was pretty good on most of them, except one went through to 149.
Was it one of yours?
No. And then we just had one last week, went through in the middle of the night, obviously, and court was 155. And I, of course, the guys didn't try to catch those. So I just leave
sucking there.
It wasn't a Ford, probably, but that's
Ford pickup.
Ford pickup.
Well, that's why we didn't get a bid from the owner.
I've teased the sheriff. We don't ever have calls on that, so I'm glad we.
There's two times.
Finally, now in the last decade or so, we've had two calls.
Both of them at night.
Yeah, early morning hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's a record. I've had up towards 120, but I never had anything over that.
You think it was accurate?
Hurry to get home.
Well, they check them every day and night. So.
Lamborghini.
Maybe it was a motorcycle.
Vet, huh?
Maybe it was a motorcycle.
I don't know. It went by so quick, they didn't even try it. I said, you won't.
Is the radar trailer accurate up to that? That's up to that speed?
Yeah, it's just like it's a regular radar. It's like we have in our car. It's just stationary.
There's a lot of deer on West 4.
Yeah, there is.
This was. Yeah. I'm not saying the deer were going that fast.
Okay, thanks.
Sheriff.
Lisa, you got it?
Mine's on the agenda. So
okay. All right. I don't have anything to add, Eric.
Thank you, Mr. Lytle. Road and Bridge, who would like this?
State would like to use the Road 45 as a detour for locusts. They will be removing a turn lane. Discuss asphalt patching for gauge paving, labor usage. Schuler had asked about the tree work and how we're doing with that. I have been working on Senator Fisher's appropriations grants, which we've pulled out part of the raise. I spoke to Senator Fisher's office, and they said typically on a raise grant, even if selected, they won't typically fund the whole thing. So they suggest that we put part or a component of that grant into the appropriations. So we did that. I pulled for, and then I pulled the Adams bypass that had a road count of 650 average daily traffic. And then the village of Claytonia needs a new well because their reserve is bad, has bad water quality, so we're helping them with that one. Each of those needs one support letter from an elected office, and so we have for the Hickory Road, we have a support letter from the Director of Ag, the bypass from Senator Dorn, and then Claytonia Well is from us. I am waiting to hear from Congressman Smith's office. They did finally reply, and they will be getting me the applications for theirs as well. So hopefully that's soon, because I need a break from grants, I think, for a little while. I think I fell asleep last night in the chair working on these. So, and then I did speak to the department, the NDOT, on this 5.4, and they do believe that they'll have to run it through their office. We'll probably have to budget some for that NEPA process. But ours went through HUD instead of DOT, so we're trying. She said she was going to call and ask to see how that's all going to work.
Hopefully better.
Hopefully. We'll see. But I did talk to her about coordinating it with their state work because they have a lot of work that's going to be happening over there with asphalt roads, and so if we could time it with their projects, it would make it cheaper too.
Anything else for Road and Bridge? If not, we have two timed events, one at 9:40, one at 9:45. If there are any bids for the cameras or for the access controls in the audience, please turn them in. If there are not, I'd ask for a motion to close bidding on the camera bids and the access controller bids at 9:45.
So move for both of them.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Swavely. There's bidding on both projects at 9:45. Please vote. Six in favor. Motion carries.
What I see.
You must be seeing things. Could we have the camera bids done, and we'll have the building and grounds open this?
Okay, so we have a camera.
Last time I robbed you of this, Dave.
Thank you.
first one is from Diode Technologies. I'm just going to give the total right now. Sixteen cameras, we'll let David work on that, okay? For a total of $23,574.95. And this is for the roads. The same thing, okay, but this is from Flight Connective. Okay, just want to make sure. It looks like the same type of thing where they mounted cameras, and the grand total is $23,388.80. We'll let David look and make sure we compare apples to apples. And
if it's all right with the board, could we just open the next two also and then refer them all to Dave for, or do you have something, Mr. Lytle?
We
could definitely refer them separately. I mean,
do you think that Dave can?
Yeah.
I move to accept both of the bids and refer them to Dave for consideration. You should be able to get through them. Have an answer today, shouldn't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
We have a motion to accept both and refer them over to Dave Jones for review. Motion by Lytle.
Second.
Second by Swavely. Any discussion? Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. The access controllers bids. These would be for the door controls for courthouse and sheriff's office. Bad idea.
This is from Applied Connective. And this is the total is $52,715.99. This one is from
$52,715.99.
This is from Diode Technology. For $62,163.07.
Is that it?
That's it.
I move to accept and refer to Dave Jones to look those over and come back with an answer as to which one we would be advised to go with.
Motion by Lytle.
Second.
Second by Swavely. Any discussion on this? I would say, Mr. Jones, if you don't have time, don't feel that you have to get it back to us. Don't rush on this, but if you can get them back to us, if you bring them back, I'm sure we can.
Well, if you take a long enough recess to have.
We have a motion by Lytle, second by Swavely. Without any additional discussion,
just for clarification, Schuller. The first bid that were opened was for the cameras at the highway department.
Correct.
Yes.
And the second is for the door controllers here. And the equipment, additional cameras at the sheriff's department.
Doors here and at the sheriff's
department. Oh, no cameras.
It's just the door controllers.
Okay, thank you. Well, it says with AXA's camera station system.
Oh, maybe I'm wrong then.
That is confusing. There's Access door controllers. The brand name of the cameras is
AXIS.
AXIS, yes. So one bid is completely cameras down at the highway. The other is with our door system.
But it is it does include some cameras. No, it's just the name of the...
Access is a program that makes them compatible.
Okay. Thank you.
Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. With that, we will take a 10-minute recess at
9:53.
Are you ready?
A minute isn't enough.
We'll reconvene at 10:04 on the clock. Up next is a recognition of service to Annette Corder. We talked about this a little bit during equalization, but Annette started work on November 8th, 1993. This will be her last week of work, so if you see Annette down in the assessor's office or if you see her wandering about, she didn't want to come down and see us. Typical Annette. She's a little bit on the quiet side, but like we said at equalization, she is one that's always working. She's got her head down. She takes care of things. Always helpful, whether it's one of us or someone in the public. But we wish her a happy retirement and nothing but the best. But we will miss Annette. There will be some change up down there. She's been down there longer than any of us have been up here. And actually, I mean, I won't say how that correlates, but I mean, as long as I remember doing anything with the courthouse, she's actually been down there. But wish Annette a happy retirement. I don't know if anyone wants to say anything.
I just reiterate a lot of what you just said, and just you know, it's a lot of experience and a good person that's leaving the office down there, and that's hard to replace. And I'm sure they'll move forward fine, but she's going to be hard to replace. So, and I've had a lot of years of experience working with Annette through the county board. So,
absolutely, I'll take her plaque down later today. Like I say, she it's not that she doesn't want to come see us, but she's happy to not come in front of the board.
Stay behind her desk.
Absolutely. Although he doesn't work for us, Scott is also leaving us, moving on to greener pastures, and he seems to be really looking forward to it, too. Every time I ask him about it, he smiles. I mean, the mood changes.
I brought tissues in case I get
him. Bring it up for us?
This will be his last meeting with us. When I started on this side of desks on city council, Scott was down at the city, and then he liked working with me so much he moved to the county when I moved up here. But we really do receive a great service. You've done a great job for the people of our area reporting things. You've been very tolerant of the city council and the county board. On our side, we're really lucky with Doug and you also. You could get us on a lot of things that we do that we shouldn't and say that we shouldn't or whatever. You guys have always been tried to be fair and represent the intent of what we're saying. So we're lucky in our area having you guys. I don't know who we'll have after you or if they'll stop covering us, but we've always felt lucky to have you. So thank you, Scott, and good luck to you as well.
How long has that been, Scott? Do you mind me asking? Because you were on the city council when...
I've been a daily son for over 14 years, and I think I've been covering county board for either 10 or 11 of those.
Scott's always been very active with elections coming up here and covering on election night and different times. So,
you know, this is going to be an exciting election cycle, too. Are you sure you don't want to stick around?
I might come just for fun.
No, thank you very much, though. We're going to miss you. With that, we'll move on to Dakota Hurley, Tourism Coordinator. She's got a couple projects for us. And a quarterly report this week.
Okay, we'll start with the first project here.
And you've got backup today.
I have backup. She
brought this in the big guns.
Rachel Krackmeyer. We are both class participants in Leadership Beatrice Class 18 this year.
Thank you.
And so this is...
Thank you. I'll leave her one. I assume her computer's still here.
So each year, Leadership Beatrice has to complete a community project. This year, our class has undertaken a project that will put something in the empty lot downtown on Court Street between 4th and 5th. There's kind of a draw up of that kind of in the middle of your packet there. I will let Rachel kind of take over and explain what this project looks like, where we're at in the project, and then we'll go from there.
Okay, good morning. Thank you for listening and considering our project for funding through the Visitor Improvement Funds. A little bit of background on kind of how we landed on this project. During the Leadership Beatrice Retreat process, we as a group or as a class really sit down and figure out what kind of impact do we want to have on our community and Gage County. Something that was kind of really resonated with the entire group and something that we really stuck on is we wanted a project that would impact the area for a very long time. We wanted this to be something that our kids would be able to utilize in 20 years from now and really have that stake your claim kind of mentality in this project. And so Pioneer Place came about. We wanted something fun, outdoor, that families, people of all ages could utilize, and something that wasn't necessarily just a typical park, right? The city of Beatrice has wonderful parks throughout the area, as do the surrounding communities throughout Gage County. And so we wanted to do something a little bit different, and tying into kind of our heritage in the area of the homestead, we decided to call this Pioneer Place. It is of sorts a pocket park. In that rendering, what you will see is two shuffleboard courts. So these are kind of tile slotted courts that affix together. So the goal is to have two. The unique thing or nice thing about these are attached to a concrete slab. So they can be removable if necessary. The other thing is folks can bring in like cornhole boards and things like that and play on top of them. So it can be a multi-use space but still provide an activity that isn't readily available in a lot of places. Then the other components of this are just softening the space to make it fun and inviting and attractive, having picnic tables, benches, things like that, a water fountain, one where people can refill their water bottles and those types of things. Especially as they're visiting the area, we anticipate that this is going to really impact people coming and staying in the community, grabbing lunch, coming over here, eating outside, especially in the nicer months of the year and things like that, allowing their kids to play. We also anticipate that it might be something where folks will go down and have a drink at Stone Hollow or something like that and then venture down the street and visit this area just for a fun activity to do. So
the picture on the front here is what those shuffleboard boards kind of look like in real life, yep. Just to get you an idea when you're looking at the design concept.
So where we're at in the process right now, we have secured nearly two-thirds of the funding costs or the capital needed to execute this project. So we have a substantial amount of donations. We've partnered with the city. They are providing some of the picnic benches or picnic tables, benches, as well as in-kind labor and those types of things to support the project. We also have other businesses around the area that are investing in this project as well. What am I missing? Anything else?
I don't think so. I think that's the gist of it. Questions anybody has on this project?
I know this is conceptual, but you know, if it's for shuffleboard and is there going to be a cap or a place there where that'll be stored that you have access to if you have to go someplace to get access to it?
There will be a storage cabinet on site, and that is in the budget. We're purchasing additional pucks and sticks to keep as backup in case those were to come up missing. And then being that it is a City of Beatrice property, they would maintain the space afterwards. And then, of course, if our backup then ends up missing, they would have to replace those as well.
That's fine. I just want to make sure there was a place there they could store it.
Absolutely.
So are we going to approve this one and then move to the next one, or how are you wanting to do this, Mr. Chairman?
I would assume we would address each of these individually.
I move to approve the visitor improvement grant to Leadership Beatrice Class Number 18 in the amount of $20,000 for Pioneer Park Project.
Second.
Any additional discussion on this?
Is it Pioneer Park or Pioneer Place?
Okay, so technically it's Pioneer Place. And I had, when I had technically started the grant process like a month ago, I had accidentally put Park. So that's why the cover of this says Pioneer Place.
So we should amend it to Pioneer Place. Is
that sure? I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Could you tell us again where this is? I know where it is, but I was asked, so...
Between 4th and 5th Street on Court Street, it is the empty lot between the Nicaraguan store and the
420 Smoke Shop.
20 Smoke Shop.
420 Smoke Shop and the Nicaraguan store.
It used to be Pipeline.
I'm sorry.
Is this on, this is on...
On the south side.
On the south side of Court Street between 4th and 5th.
It's okay. Where they just tore that house, that building down.
Yes.
Been on the agenda forever and ever and ever, right?
Address is 218 North 5th.
There's a void.
No, that's
the void.
There's
a void.
It's easy. Oh,
yes. Okay. When you're driving and you see the buildings and it's the missing
two. I don't say, that didn't sound... Okay, so it's shadowed by the...
I believe, don't quote me on this, but I believe the static address is 413 Court. Of that vacant lot.
Okay.
In that vicinity.
You're right. It's a second opening if you're coming.
Dairy Queen.
Dairy Queen's further to the east. This is downtown.
About close to the Black Crow.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So, the empty lot on that same side of the street.
Not the empty lot next to the Black Crow.
Not the empty lot.
Another building.
The empty lot.
The next empty lot.
Oh, gotcha. Yep. Okay.
Is there enough parking for the amount of tourism that this will draw?
Well, there's only two shuffleboard courts.
Okay.
But
if you had a tournament.
We will also, if you look in the back there, or at the concept, there's this grade area. This we would hope to save as parking as well.
So that's towards the alley?
This is towards the alley. Okay. This is towards the street, yes.
Okay.
With the 420 shop and the Nicaraguan shop, is smoking allowed?
I mean,
the public place.
It's a public park.
It's outdoors.
So,
I figured
whatever
that
you're
question
doing
would come
is illegal.
Up.
That's on you.
Can UTVs drive in there?
No.
There will be fences and only a certain width of the walkway down the middle.
All right, we have a motion and a second on the shuffleboard court. Any additional discussion?
I'd
I'd like to see Eric do kind of like a opening of that with the shuffleboard and like Eric versus Gary or something.
This could be arranged.
Yeah.
I don't know how to play shuffleboard. Do you?
It's easy.
We'll figure it out.
Oh, it's super easy.
Your demographic plays more shuffleboard than mine.
I think there's one of them.
I am going to abstain on this one. I don't know if I'm supposed to or not. I'm doing some of the work on this at an incredible profit.
It was donated.
Yeah, I'm sure.
A portion of the concrete is being donated.
What's that?
A portion of it, yes.
Oh, well, if you got any pecuniary interest, yes, you should abstain.
I'm sure it's going to be an incredible profit project.
There's two courts, right?
Yes.
Oh, so we can have Eric and Gary and then Dave and Eddie.
Yeah, they can.
What about you? Volunteer.
You'll come to watch.
They're the active side, you know.
But it takes two on each end, okay?
Yeah, so. you gotta it's teams.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I'll team up with you. Okay.
We'll take on Rachel and Dakota.
Done. Where's the kids these days saying bet? Bet.
Bet?
Bet.
Before we get more ridiculous, please vote. 5 in favor of teaming and abstaining. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rachel.
Next item, visitor improvement grant for the Food for Hope in the amount of $25,000 for the build-out of the Community Learning Center.
Thank you.
Okay, for this one, I have Ron and Terry Sumaza here with me. They are with Food for Hope. They are located outside of Beatrice. Best way for me to explain it is usually off when you take 136 and the Ellis Blacktop there in that area over there by Ellis. They're bringing their project here. They had started the entire project a while back, and now they're on the next phase, and so they're looking for funding more specific to this phase of the project. And I'll let Terry Sue kind of take over and explain what their project is and their grant request.
Hello, thank you for allowing us to be here. So our project is we're building a community learning center to complement our commercial kitchen that we have. We are renovating a pole barn. It's about how many square feet?
1,600
square feet. The kitchen has been complete for a year. We've been using it, and now we want to add the learning center to expand the scope and capacity of what we can do. Out there, we do interactive workshops, kind of old-fashioned kind of stuff, where we teach sourdough bread making, cheese making, sauerkraut, kimchi. We've done all kinds of things, cast iron cooking, Italian night. We made pasta, pie making. We do all kinds of things, and it brings in people from all over. We've had folks take our workshops from Omaha, Lincoln, Kansas. They've come up from as far west as Harlan County. They've come over to participate with us.
Any questions from the board?
So this application is a little bit different than some that we've had in the past, but I do think that this is a good application of what we're doing with the visitor, with the tourism funds. This does bring people in. It does put heads on beds. Has the potential to, but it is. I think it is a nice little twist on what we can do with our tourism funds. And if successful, I think it'll be a good addition to our community. So, as you know, I wasn't at the last meeting when they did go through the final here, but I was there for the prior one, and I do think that this is a good project.
Terry Sue and Ron had John Hill and I out years ago to their place. I think that was under different context. I think that was when there was an anhydrous depot going in when we were looking around at what was going on. They tried to bribe us with some ice cream, and it was really good. But I've also visited with Terry Sue on the phone about what type of process they have out there. I didn't realize there were people coming out and coming to look at things. A lot of the kids don't know where food comes from anymore, which is unusual for us, but you go right up the road and there's a very far, there's a disconnect between real life and the grocery store, I guess. And so they're trying to show some of that. Plus, just how do you make things from scratch? Not everybody has the traditional household where things are getting whipped up and made and you're eating them. Food comes from a box sometimes, and it does at my house too. But this is showing kids where food actually does come from. The way this process would work, if we would approve this or any other project, they gather funds, build their project out. Once everything's done, then they would present things back to us, and then we reimburse a check for whatever approved amount there is. It looks like this project totals about $210,000 with a request of $25,000. Any additional comment or question from the board?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, second by Swavely. Questions, comment? If not, please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries.
Congratulations
and good luck to you both.
Thank you. It's not a bribe, but I brought you cinnamon rolls.
They look really good, too.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. And now time for a quarterly report.
Thank you.
Okay, so my lodging tax spreadsheet got messed up, so I have to fix that, and then I will get that to Dawn to get to you guys the wages and stuff. I don't know what I did in the end, so I'll fix that and get that sent to Dawn.
Okay, so some advertisements. Right now I just have that we recently did a Visit Nebraska website banner ad, and then also there was a Centec, which is a Southeast Nebraska tourism. There's an ad in that guide as well. It's actually one of the most requested guides when people are coming in. They ask specifically for that guide, and I think it's our local people who are coming into the visitor center. They're kind of looking to travel close. That's something Nebraska Tourism has said, is that the post-COVID idea that people want to get out and travel is starting to wane, and then obviously cost of living is going up. So people are not traveling as far. But that also tells me if our people are coming in and asking for that guide, my partners in the rest of Southeast Nebraska have people who are also looking to do the same thing and travel a little bit more locally than before. So that's always important to recognize that if I'm having our people do that, then I know that other counties have the same thing going on. I recently attended the Tourism Unity Summit in Lincoln. That is being brought back. It had been all over the state. They would kind of pick a different spot. They are trying to do it only in Lincoln for the next 3 years, and the point of that is there has been recent riff regarding the Nebraska tourism slogan and maybe not communicating with DED. That is definitely not the case, and I think they have that solved in legislation, kind of what that will look like for the Nebraska Tourism Commission. So that Unity Summit was to bring us closer to what's happening in legislature, and we invited a lot of senators to that summit to have discussions and things. There's been a lot of tourism stuff that was kind of hot in legislators this last session so far. I attended the Marketech conference in Kearney, so that's marketing, and they had a like tourism sector and marketing for tourism in there. As you guys know, I'm participating in Leadership Beatrice Class 18, so we've had multiple different classes, and then obviously our project, we have a tourism focus in that. One of the big things that I'm excited about for that project downtown is Homestead Days. Recently, I did a Zoom with a company, and we've seen this huge spike on June 23rd of 2023 to the downtown area. It went like from here to here, showing that we had over 13,000 people just downtown within that basically within the QCT area. So I know if we add stuff going on down there during homestead days, that'll help that draw and keep those people here longer. Other stuff. Oh, working on the EDA tourism grant. That is also a QCT project. We're adding a new event this summer. More on that to come. Ribbon cuttings and such. Also, I have shared before that I'm the lead chamber representative for the Young Professionals of Gage County Group, along with Megan from Engage. We are working to recruit the 2025 CYN Summit to Beatrice. That is connecting young Nebraskans. So that is the larger statewide young professional group. Something I'm running into is we don't have conference room space. So we're getting creative, actually, in how we're going to do this. They're needing a conference room to dine and host 200, but they also need breakout rooms to host 75 plus. Our Hotel Holiday Inn has a conference room, but they don't have the conference room plus breakout rooms. You get breakouts or a conference room. We're getting creative in the fact that we are presenting that we are going to host this at SCC during fall break, hopefully, if we are chosen. And we will use the Academic Excellence Center for our breakout rooms, and we're using the gym as our main speaker and dining. So knowing that we have that option going forward will help me recruit more conferences and things like that, of that sort, having that out there, because we just don't have that conference space like a lot of these people are looking for these days, and that's something that pulls us out of the pot to draw conferences. Yes.
Is there still a chance of SCC building that conference center on campus?
No. I don't know.
There's still plans for a lot of stuff out there, but it's going to be incrementally. I'm not at the level that's probably approved to speak of those things, so.
Not yet.
Because that would be.
I would appreciate it.
That'd be a big deal for our area. I mean, that
it would be. Yes.
We hear that. I just heard that more recently in the last year. You have a room, but you don't have breakouts.
Mm-hmm.
You have a room, but you don't have enough lodging area for all the people to come in, go to a conference, and then split off into other rooms. So that would be something to look at.
We are trying to do our hotel block for that. We have presented four hotels to have enough rooms for this conference for what they estimate for people. So we can't just host them all at one spot, which is fine. We're just trying to get creative, and I wanted to kind of bring that discussion up, the fact that that is something we're missing out on when I'm trying to recruit things here. We also did the chamber banquet. We're fully in homestead days planning mode. We have a Centec community tour coming up in May. Also, tourism awards are coming up in May. And I've been busy working on grants for our Leadership Beatrice project. That's all I have for now.
Be great if you had talked to your economic development counterpart about bringing in maybe additional hotel space with conference center.
We're working on
breakout
it.
Breakout rooms.
Human. We're working on it.
So, Dakota, you know, we talked a little bit about hotels and possibly seeing some of the funds that come into the tourism fund, maybe pulling back some this year. Is that something that has materialized or has started to see as far as years going back? Do you know off the top of your head?
Like a decrease in lodging. Yeah, December was very low. We are also coming out of basically the opposite of tourism season. We're coming out of that. So it's expected to be low, but it was very, very low. I would say the portion, normally we like to see 10,000 to 16,000 per month, and we had 3,000. So that is low. One thing that I have noticed most people have is the Tallgrass Pipeline people are here. So there are trucks in hotel parking lots right now, which should help bring that back up. So like I said, at the last meeting I think you were at, Nebraska Tourism has advised us that overnight travel especially will be down. They predict it to be down over the next coming years because we had that spike after COVID where everybody wanted to get out, and now people are kind of waning down from that. Also, the cost of living is higher. So I'm looking at getting creative on how to Previously, when I first started, we were looking at kind of expanding maybe like marketing in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Wichita, things like that. And now we're probably closing in that marketing radius because we know that people just aren't going to be going as far. But like I said, we have the pipeline people here right now, so that should help. Anything else?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Sorry,
Dave.
You can go.
Just a comment. Beatrice, the old Beatrice Inn, there's trucks parked all the way around. Usually that was just a couple of vehicles here and there, but you know, the last couple of weekends or the last couple of weeks, it's been trucks all around, even parked out front. Okay, so.
Yep.
Just a follow-up question from the last meeting. I think it was just last meeting. So I did talk to our church with the graves, and brought up that they could find them online. So while I was sitting there at church, I Googled my grandpa just to see where, if it would show up. Findagrave.com. It had a picture of the headstone, and then it had his date of birth, date of death, and then I could drop a pin, and it was right where his gravesite was. Okay. But then it also had a link to all the family members too. So my great grandpa, John Helmke, and I clicked on him. He's actually buried in Evergreen where this was at. And so it had been since I think I was in elementary school when I was there. But it was the general vicinity. So out of curiosity, I dropped that pin and I drove to it, and it took me within 20 feet. So I don't know if what they're doing with 70,000 is 100% necessary other than the uploading of the data.
I think because it involves the fact that you can do, like they can individualize tours, like historical figures or, you know, maybe famous people from here, and you can set up a specific tour through the app or through the whatever. It's not an app. It's an online resource. I think that is more of what they were looking at for the added benefit feature instead of just like findyourgrave.com or something. That's what they were looking at.
Well, the way it was, they talked about it was just more about the uploading the data and being able to find it. And I was like, that's free online already. They even had it was an actual picture of the headstones on that website too.
To check that out.
So it was, and if it worked, I mean,
ask, yeah.
Within 20 feet over at Evergreen.
Yeah. Okay. I'll talk to Mitch.
I wish you would have found that week before.
And I was going to ask that too. And this is more of a board question. Like, we usually wait on decisions for 2 weeks to look at that stuff. I mean, can we make decisions 2 weeks after we hear it presented?
We can always wait if a person
just
wants to.
Just as a general, like, I don't want, I mean, we obviously did it again today, but like I found it a couple days after, but I can't Google that or search it or whatever in that during a meeting that quick. Mm-hmm. So it would just been nice to know. I didn't know if he had realized that was available.
I did not. I know that. So I'm going to check it out, and then I'll talk to Mitch and Laureen.
Anything else for tourism? Mr. Lytle?
Oh, one thing. Sorry, it's not in my report because I had just talked to somebody this morning. Wymore is building the Heritage Inn. I don't know if anybody has heard that yet. It is a, I don't remember if they said 6 to 10 room B&B, and that's being privately built.
Is this the one on the south side of Main Street?
There's seven rooms.
Seven?
I think so.
There you go. 6 to 10. So that is coming up on being completed. So that's exciting. That's also, that'll be additional lodging tax revenue.
We have to place the quarterly tourism report on file.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Swavely, to place the quarterly tourism report on file. Any discussion on that? Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
And Mark. Mark's here, too.
I'm sorry?
You're ready, aren't you, Mark?
Part of it.
Dave's ready.
Oh. Come on up, Dave. We did these out of order.
Yeah, we should do Mark first's recommendation.
No, I mean, we voted on these. So I guess
we're going to say. I'd do this one yet.
Oops. Take it away, Dave.
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning again.
Again.
Yes. The first one with the door controllers, and I should explain that we have the computer downstairs, and then above every door there's a little black controller, and that's like a little mini computer that talks to the main computer. So there's 72 door controllers that we asked for a bid for. Applied came in at $52,715.99. They are the lowest of the two bids, so I guess I would recommend that we would go with Applied.
Are those installed prices or just the equipment?
Installed, yes. And they did. We only had one specification, and that is the AXIS model A1210, quantity 72.
Any discussion on this item? I'd ask for a motion to approve awarding the access control system for the doors to Applied Connective.
So moved. Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Swavely. Please vote. Six in favor, motion carries.
The second proposal was for installing 14 cameras down at the highway department with a its own computer down there also, and that is where Applied came in at $23,388.80. Diode came in just a little bit higher at $23,574.95. Applied does offer a extended warranty. It's a service agreement for $325 annually, where Diode has a maintenance agreement, can be purchased after the first year, although our work has a one-year labor warranty and a five-year parts warranty. So these two came in pretty close. Applied did come in as a lesser amount on that one.
What's the warranty on there? That's $307 a year?
Yes, yes. And Applied is here. I think I would like to have them explain the...
Would you please come up to the microphone just so that we have record of what you tell us? Thank you. And give your name for the record.
Yeah, Justin Niewoner with Applied Connective. The $300 would be more, it's a monthly fee, but that would extend the equipment warranty for the length of the contract. So if anything were to fail, it would be replaced at that. I also, we had a base service on there, which was only, I think, $125 per month. And that would be the remote support. There would be any on-site work would be, you know, time and materials. And then there'd be a five-year warranty with all the equipment with that.
The five-year warranty on the equipment's regardless?
Yes, correct.
Is there a labor warranty on that for a year also?
Yeah, somewhere around there, yep.
On new equipment, would there be any reason to have
Yeah, it's not as important as warranty. You know, at the courthouse where you have 100 plus or 100 plus, you know, older cameras on a new system. I don't think the premium is probably the best route for you to go. I think the base would be the better option there. So,
any questions from the board?
What, let's say that you had a camera go bad. What would be the expense?
It would be the camera would still be under warranty, the trip charge up here, and then, you know, probably a one-hour fee for the swap of it. So, you know, maybe
pretty minimal.
Yeah, maybe $500, you know, for a trip charge and install fee and whatnot, unit configured. So somewhere around there probably.
So what's the base package that you're talking about? What's that going to cover? What does that do for us?
So that's all the remote support. That also includes 24/7 functionality monitoring, so we get alerted if a device goes offline. You know, too many times a customer will call in saying, hey, I need you to pull footage from this camera. We go to look at it, and it's been offline for 3 weeks. You know, so this prevents things like that from happening. But also, you get quicker response time, too, with this versus if you didn't, you know, if you call in, you'd get, like, a 4 to 6 hour response time. If you didn't have this in place, you know, it may be a day or two before we get it. So if you are paying that monthly fee, you do get a quicker response time from us. And then on top of that, all the remote support and then firmware and patchware upgrades and quarterly on those. So we just watch the system much more and much more closely. And
too bad we have even firmware and garbage updates instead of it's a camera, it's on, it's recording. Guess what? Nothing changes. But I guess that's not the way it works anymore.
What were the two base prices again, Dave?
Applied came in at $23,388.80. Diode came in at $23,574.95.
Your recommendation is Applied because the base price was?
Yes, with the base price.
Do you need a motion?
We need a motion to approve. I would touch on the service agreement also. I'd be fine with no service agreement. It seems to be a pretty lucrative business if you watch docs on people that offer warranty.
I think we'd be okay with all those brand new.
Sure. Yeah, and we can pull off the managed services for out there. That's an option as well.
Move to approve.
We have a motion to approve Applied Connective for the camera system at the highway department in the amount of $23,388.80 without a service agreement.
Without that managed, that $325 that they had on there.
I don't think there'd be vandalism down there.
Of the cameras? Buy a lot of cameras for $1,500 or $5,000 a year. I'm sorry? I wouldn't think so. We could have staff that is paid full-time look at the cameras once in a while and make sure they're on.
If they're remotely watched, though, you'll know if they're off or if there's a problem.
Mr. Schuler.
Clarify for me the difference in the two packages without the extra warranty.
They both came in very close, actually, within just a couple.
Well, not beside the cost, but the warranty, the difference in the warranty.
Okay, the warranty for... has a one-year labor warranty and a five-year parts warranty through Diode.
Okay.
So we'd be in the same
it'd
situation.
It'd match.
Yep.
Is 14 cameras enough, Dave?
I would think so. I mean, there are quite a few that go into the shop, and then the rest have a pretty good size view of the outside.
And we've got something inside to watch the time clock inside.
Yes, there's two, I guess, dedicated.
Yeah,
to
that's
that
right.
Area.
Yeah, that was the revised one that you would have gotten a while back to add specifically for the time clocks. Yeah.
Have you got a chance to look at this, Dave, or where the cameras would be?
I have an idea, but I would, you know.
You might not talk about where the camera
is. Oh, right. That'd be fine. We can deal with that after. So we have a motion to approve Applied without monitoring. Is that correct?
No, without the managed service, the 325 one.
The other one would be 125.
Yeah.
That one's a month. That is not included.
And the other one was that was the online monitoring of them?
Yep, monitoring, and then, yeah, the quicker response time, and then, yeah, all remote support and firmware and patch, software upgrades.
How many cameras do we have at the courthouse approximately? Courthouse and sheriff? 100?
I think there's close to 100.
Yeah,
22.
I will just throw out there, we've never had monitoring on any of those.
I'm indifferent.
Well, you have to make it's a part of your motion.
The base one.
The $125 a month or the base bid?
Base bid.
Okay. Without monitoring.
What's your motion?
Is this something that in the future, if we have problems, if
yeah, you can always can
always put yeah, then just the base bid for right now.
So we have a motion to approve Applied's bid, the base bid. Yes. Do we have a second?
I think so. Have you decided yet?
Yeah.
Yes. Then.
Yeah.
Okay. We have a motion by Haxby, second by Lytle. Any additional discussion? All right, please vote. 6 in favor, motion carries. Thank you.
Thanks, David.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Kunke, do you want to bring this back at this time for our culvert material only bids?
Yeah.
I'd like to thank Applied and also Diode, too, for getting bids in. We think we're easy to work with. We're really not, so thank you for your patience.
No comment.
You know how easy we are to work with.
So review of the four bids. Time frame as for all of them, I mean, we can work within. Looking at this, my recommendation would be going with metal culverts for $206,762.90. Which would be the cheapest bid.
For all of them?
For all of them.
Now, they deliver them when they're due. We don't have
they
to store them,
They deliver
right?
them when they're completed at the shop. They usually call us, and we set up a delivery date then.
Okay.
And their longest delivery period is 16 weeks.
Which these are just replacing bridges that are on the hit list, so it's just wish list items. It's nothing that's in a hurry. So
move to approve based on Mark's recommendation.
Second.
Okay.
Over bids. Would you give me the name and price again?
Metal culverts for $206,792.90. $762.90.
Yeah, there you go.
Sorry.
Oh.
The dyslexic kind of kicked in.
I was going to ask because I had $762.
That's what I had.
We have a motion by Lytle, second by Dorn. Any discussion on these culverts? And this is for 5 projects. And you'll complete those this year?
Hopefully. If everything gets delivered on time, we will complete them this calendar year.
Do you have any culverts laying on the ground right now?
Only one set.
And that's from last year, yeah.
That was from last year at East 6 Blue Springs, Wymore. We are waiting for utility relocations. That is completed. So one of these job numbers here will go to another set of culverts that are just a half mile north of this one. So we might kind of combine it and close only the road for just over a week to get it all completed.
Makes sense. Any additional discussion? If not, please vote. 6 in favor. Approving metal culverts for the amount of $206,762.90. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Up next, approve or disapprove resolution on SUP 2024-1 for the placement of a commercial retail agricultural business to be located on a tract of land in the southeast corner of the southeast quarter of the southwest quarter of Section 32.56 of Holt Township in Gage County, Nebraska. This would be the gluten-free mill that we heard about 2 weeks ago.
Move to approve.
Second. Moved by Lytle, second by Swavely.
Oh, I didn't say a word.
Dorn?
She did, too.
I tried.
Daddy tried, too.
So who is it, Lytle?
Moved by Haxby? Lytle, second by Dorn. They jumped out in front of Miss Haxby.
It's resolution number 24-05.
What is it, 24-05?
I'd call that a tie.
24-05.
Mm-hmm. That's our number.
Any discussion on this mill?
That's flour, right?
Yes.
I believe out of white Milo.
That's the gluten-free?
I believe so.
You start raising that, Eddie, you get more money, making a lot of money out of it. Okay, so
I raised enough Milo in my day.
Any discussion that's pertinent? If not, please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Yeah, no kidding. Anything else for the good of the order?
Eric?
I was just going to say, are we good with the HR stuff? Are we good with that for a while? We need to touch on that while we're here.
I don't know. Is there anything you'd like to discuss?
No, I'm just checking because it was a discussion on Monday, so I'm checking.
I think I'll try to address some of that with Mr. Juergens when he's available again. He has a funeral obligation today. Mr. Schuler?
I was contacted by an extension board member, and he's asking me where we're at with our interlocal agreement with the extension office.
We are not anywhere. The intention on that was to... We've got county employees managed by a state agency, so we are going to move those over and just try to get to where we gave them a set dollar amount. They did not want to do that. We still have the option of just saying we don't care what you want. If you want anything, we're going to provide you a building and X number of dollars. So I guess that's really something I need to talk to the board about. Do we still want to do that where we say here's the dollar amount, take it or leave it? You pay for your staff out of that. You pay for your materials out of that. You take care of that. Do we enter into an agreement like they've offered where we still have questions on what we pay for, what we don't pay for? We have their staff. We have our staff out there. They're managed by their people, different vacations, different holidays, different everything. I thought it was moving along more, and then I guess after I talked to Dave, I got set back a little bit where I,
Dave,
Varna, he'd be in charge. He'd be the one that we deal with on that. I got set back some, I guess. So.
I didn't make it to the Boswell meeting this month because I got the information yesterday, and the meeting was Monday night.
Oh, you're kidding.
And I got the information yesterday.
I'll talk to the city on that, see why we're getting stuff so late. Don't worry, I'm sure everything was decided before the meeting anyway.
Yeah, I know.
As far as the extension, though, we're not any further. What direction would you guys like to go on that? Would you like an agenda item where we talk about this? Do you want me to just tell Dave, hey, we're going to give you X amount of money? If you don't like that, too bad, so sad.
I have a question with that. Are you going to go?
Go ahead.
My question is, I mean, how is it that 90 other counties are making it work and we can't?
We're still making it work, but every single county is different. Nobody's the same.
Yeah. And the university just wants the cookie cutter.
So some counties don't.
Well, last I heard, I think there was 90 or 91 counties that have already signed. And
yeah, probably about that many didn't read it.
And that's the case, too. So previously, some counties provided staff, some provide none, some provide buildings, some don't, some provide... I mean, it's just, there's no homogen... there's nothing the same.
But we have a budget to allow them to work in, and we can set what is allowed to be paid for and what isn't based on our rules, like no food.
Which they buy.
Drinks. Well,
they buy.
Not what they turn into us.
They turn that into us, too.
Okay, well, then we'll set that stipulation. No
paper
food.
Plates for their office to eat on, they charge those to us.
Okay. You get where I'm going, though. Like, make the rules apply for what we use here. and then have them work within a budget.
We try to do that. That's where the back and forth happens all the time. Well, it's in our budget. And it's like, well, it's illegal for you to spend it on that. So then we deny it, and then they send
illegal
it to the...
Illegal might be a little hard.
Illegal might be wrong. It's not proper for you to spend it on that.
Well, by your policy.
There's, yeah, I'm sorry. Thank you, Counselor.
There's places where you can furnish toiletries and, you know, Kleenex and stuff like that.
The biggest issue came down to we have county staff being managed by state staff. We also have times when the office isn't open, things like that. We have county staff members leaving because there's no one else there. There's several things that we have a single county staff member out there, no state staff that manages them, and then they're there by themselves. We didn't have those issues before. We had a different set of issues before. It would be clean, easy to say, here's the dollar amount. Use it for your programs. That's just the easiest. I'm not saying it's right, but it would be the easiest. Then they can choose who they want for staff. They can choose the hours they work. They can choose the schedules they work.
We just supply them the building.
And a flat amount of money.
I think the cooperative extension is very valuable to our county and to our residents, our farmers, everything. So I think it's important that we make sure that we get this done and we don't lose that representation or that tool. But if we can continue to talk to Dave and see if there's some way to make, because I do like your thoughts or your idea, Eric. If there's some way that Dave would be acceptable to that, I would like to continue that conversation or have you continue that conversation with him. Or
I need to call him again. It's actually on my desk, but I told him I needed to talk to you guys before I did anything else to see. And we weren't even looking at one time we were looking at what can we peel out of that budget to lower that dollar amount.
Right.
I don't know that that's even really, I don't even know if that's really needed on that budget. I mean, even if we would continue it at what it is, it would just be a matter of working with Roger and coming up with something. They're not going to come up with a draft of that for us because they want all the other strings. That would have to be something that comes from us. But if we make it very black and white, it should be a fairly simple agreement, I would think.
Honestly, I would think if we could get this done, Eric, it might be something that the other 90 counties look at and say, that makes sense. And maybe that moves.
But it's always next time.
Yeah, a lot of them have already signed the new agreement,
which
the new agreement's a lot more extensive than the last agreement, it appeared.
I think, it certainly covers, I'll say more detail. But then again, anytime you get into more detail, you got more headaches. And quite frankly, going with what Gary said, you've got a relationship here that basically when the contract comes up, you look at it and go, they change the date. Here we go. Because you trust the people you're working with. And they trust you because you've always done it that way. When the lawyers get done with it, it exponentially gets more complicated because we're trying to cover every little thing that comes up. So simple might be a better way to do it. And I'm not saying that Dave's going to go along with that. Again, Emily says they've already got the lion's share.
Don't know how it works.
Yeah. Well, and there's not. I will say that there are questions out there by other counties because we've been getting emails on, does your office do this? Or are they allowed to do that? So there's some angst out there on some of it. It's not all.
Nobody has good. Followed it so, to yeah. the T. And
well, again, it seemed to me like somebody like NACO could kind of take a spearhead on this thing. And because you do have a number of different ideas out there.
But like Dave said, he goes, nobody's the same. No two counties are the same.
Do we have a proposed contract, draft contract, that we are comfortable with and then a contract that they've proposed, something that the rest of us board can look at and
We've got the one that they sent us. It was a generic one.
Yeah,
but it came last year.
Yeah, you guys have had it for a long time.
And we've been sitting without a contract for how long?
It's just extended on, the one that we're currently
just keep
in.
Extending. We've got, we're just extending old the old one.
Mm-hmm. The new one's not the old one again. What we did before is we just always had the same old one. Like Councillor said, we would just extend it or just change the dates, re-sign it, and away we went.
Well, it hasn't been signed since, like, 96. It's just been continuing.
Well, that's the way to do it.
Oh, since 96?
A couple of days ago.
I think it's 96. That's the, but it was never brought forward. There was never a reason to change. It just rolled on, you know, and so nobody ever wanted to
I was told that Nicole is waiting to do some personnel action based on the contract that she would like to know.
That's actually true. She's wanted to hire additional people, and
she doesn't want to proceed without having a contract from us.
And she hasn't been given the authority to do it.
If it stays the way it is, she's not going to be able to.
But yeah, and it's funny business. I mean,
you're not going to be able to hire or to move on if it stays like it is.
She had one. She's trying to wants to replace one.
But she had three, and then she was down to one, and then two. I mean, it's varied so much out there. There's no consistency at all.
She has hired two part-time people.
But is she currently in limbo on this? I mean, didn't we make a decision one way or the other?
No, the last time I talked to her, she knew that, but she hired two part-time people right now.
They're having trouble with their athletic director, so let's just move on with ours.
Yeah, I mean, we can decide whatever. I like that one because it's simple. We no longer have county people being managed by state people. That's a big deal.
I think as I look at the group, I think personality-wise, most of the time they get along out there. But it takes that one time that just, and by the time it hits back up here, let's say a mountain becomes, or a mole becomes a mountain.
Just to put in perspective the things we've worried about over the last few years, harassment issues, misconduct issues, anything like that. How do we do it? It's a manager that doesn't work for us. We can't.
And yet we need to.
We can't discipline
them. Use our standards and our.
And those people are working for that state person, but they're paid by us and under our rules. We can't manage that manager. We're not required to provide staff. So first of all, we're not required to provide staff, period. We do, but we don't have to. If we would just move to then they put in claims for 4-H stuff all the time. We don't pay for that, but we do pay for it. If we just went to a flat amount, then they could buy 4-H stuff if they wanted to. They could buy.
They could manage it how they wanted to.
They could hire staff as they wanted to. They could put on events as they wanted to. They would just have, instead of coming and desks, instead of coming and asking for furniture, things like that, computers.
Hey, Roger, I've got an idea for Eric or whoever the negotiating team is, but I think it's something that it's a negotiation thing that I think would be better in closed session.
I think if you're going to get into this, how to approach the university as far as negotiation, you definitely want to.
You want to do that now?
I have a quick question. It could be open, but my question is like with you giving a flat fee going out, I mean, we're having this issue with all other nonprofits that we're funding that we need to have to know what they are spending it on because it needs to follow what we have. So how are we – you can't do that. Like, you can't have a different guideline for this money that goes out here as a bulk and then want to track everybody else's.
Well, with extension, we have that agreement. Otherwise, we could give them zero as of today.
Well, you could still do that if you just say your budget is X amount. We can still run the lines. I mean,
and then it has to just fit the things that we allow.
Send in a budget, don't they?
But I mean, we have to have legislation that shows we can fund them now. Otherwise, we need to stop that also completely, and then it becomes really easy.
Well,
you're not saying you want contracts with everybody else,
to fund them.
What's that?
Statutorily, we are required to fund them. That's what's the other contract set up now.
So
we're not going to cut them off.
Emily, we do have that legislation already that says we can fund them.
That's not what I was saying.
She's talking about monitoring what the dollars are spent for because we need to know if we give X amount of dollars to victim assistance, we need to have the receipts, and then we reimburse them.
Disperse the money based on the receipts that we get.
We do that kind of here now. They turn in their receipts, and we pay the bills for extension. I mean, they submit their bills to us, and we pay them. I mean, you would just be locked in a
certain amount. Do you do that on all the other organizations?
But what if they
submit the receipt?
What if they just submit a $2,500 claim, and they don't tell you what it's for?
No.
Well, but that's what Eric's talking about.
And that may be something now that would be different, but as of right now.
You're going to manage it or you're not.
Well,
see,
no, what I'm saying
you
is right now, this is how we do it. This is how we do it now.
You don't want to, though.
Well, I don't, but that's that's the whole, we're just doing a circle here.
Well, we probably wouldn't. If you just gave them a lump amount, then they'd have to go through the university. You just give the money to the university, and their university would handle their bills then, I would imagine.
That would be similar to what we do with victim assistance. You don't do anything with Christina's stuff. We just... We get money in.
Library does the same thing.
Blue Rivers.
Engage, would that be similar?
CASA, whatever. What are the other ones we fund? We need to know where it goes per auditor. So we can't have that guideline where we just, otherwise we could do that with all of them.
Blue Rivers doesn't submit receipts to us, do they?
Yeah.
It will be.
They are.
The potential's there.
And Engage does. We have to reimburse. We're just a reimbursement. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So we would just keep it the same, and then, like, Engage has a dollar amount.
Well, it depends on how you're going to.
They hire their staff.
You're just
they do
give
everything.
The University of Nebraska this amount of money. We write the check to the University of Nebraska. They give them their budget, and they pay their bills. Then it's we're out, is what I understand you to say.
It's gone.
That's
it's
you're
just
saying,
gone.
Right? When
whether
you say
they
give
spend
them a lump
it or
amount
not.
Of money. Right, so...
But you say we're statutorily required to fund them.
But, yeah, there's... I can't remember the exact language, but it basically... Mm-hmm. And again, as Gary says, it's really, it's an opportunity because it brings economic benefit and services to the community for farmers and their families. So it's just such a weird animal. And
this is the only one that we have like this. It's the only relationship we have like this that I know of. It would almost be like us sending your people out, and then they're managed by, I mean, you come up with the school. You're sending them out, and they...
But a school resource officer, for instance, we have that overlapping, too. Now, the issue with Hager, we don't, because Hager is solely funded through the county.
But
if you go to shared funding, you run into some of that stuff, where the city has this rule... The school has this rule.
He wouldn't fall under a principal or administration. He would only work for the sheriff, right?
But that's the way we got the contract written. So, again, you can write the contract so you don't run into this problem. And, you know, I mean, they still work with the principal and the superintendent at the various schools. And each one of those are going to be different, depending on the management style of those superintendents or principals. So, I mean, it's out there. This is the weird one on this, so is we pay somebody to be supervised by somebody else. And I agree with you. I'm not familiar where we have any other employee that's managed by another third party. I think we'll see what Gary's idea is and maybe find a road to go down.
We will go into closed session at 11. I guess I need a motion to go into closed session at 11:11, necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual. This will be specifically for potential contract negotiation. We have a motion by Dorn.
He doesn't have to leave.
Right. Second by...
She ain't leaving.
Schuler.
Yes.
Second by Schuler to go in. Please vote. 6 in favor. We're in closed session at 11:11.
Okay,
so moved.
You're on.
Moved.
Wait a minute.
Moved by Schuler.
Second.
Second by Swavely to come out of closed session as instructed by our county attorney properly at 11:26. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Anything else for the good of the order?
I don't know if it's-
what's good of the order, but there's six cinnamon rolls left.
Can I make a motion that those go to the circle of knowledge at the Barnston Fire Department?
Denied. Anything else?
Provided nobody else wants them.
We're adjourned at 11:26.
I'll amend it.